I got some hotel updates. I came in the middle of the night. It was kind of cranky. I just went downstairs. It's actually kind of cool. Definitely a different vibe. Also, Sam Fortier staying here. I have more hotel updates to come. Right now, joining us on the BetQL guest line is somebody that is excited and I imagine ready to take on any of the haters, any of the ops. Hello, Barstool Nate. How do you do, buddy?
If there's a single hater or op out there, I'd be shocked because there's nothing to hate. Besides that one dork on the Bengals postgame show, there's absolutely no reason to hate or be an op right now. What a week it's been for us, man. What an absolute week it's been for us. I am as excited. I mean, I know you guys are. I know everybody listening in the JP and BMX universe are excited. All the Nataholics are excited. It's a great day to be us.
So take us through kind of your emotions, excitement, everything that happened watching that game Monday night.
It's crazy, right? Because the first drive, the Bengals go down, expose our secondary, and I tweeted it out. I said, this is going to have to be a shootout because, you know, our secondary is the secondary. And then what do you know? Jaden saw my tweet. He got up, and he made it a shootout. It was one of the more remarkable, you know, like we're sitting there watching it. And it's almost like, is this happening to us? Is this my team that we're watching right now? Is this my rookie quarterback that we're watching right now? And it was. And, you know, like everybody on Twitter, everybody who's interacting, everybody who's not even a fan of the team, all on the same page, all saying the same thing about just how awesome Jaden is. And I need to apologize. I said this season might be a roller coaster. You know, he's still going to make rookie mistakes. I was wrong. We have the best quarterback in the NFL. There's no mistakes to be made. We have a Pro Bowl Hall of Fame quarterback on our team for the next 15 years. It's unbelievable, JP.
Does any part of you feel the need to chill out? I know how you
are. Hell no, not Nate.
I know how you are and how excited you get, right? And I'm cool with that. But does any part of you want to say, like, all right, I got to chill out just a hair and let it build on its own?
Right. I mean, we have to stay level. We have to understand it's a process that that the defense isn't all the way there yet, that we can still use a couple pieces on the offense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've been talking on this show, the highest rated segment in DC Sports Talk history, for the last, you know, 6 months about how we're finally.
You have a lot of credit there, Nate.
It's gonna be true. CK showed me the numbers. It's true. So we understand that a rebuild takes time. We understand that through the last five drafts, 90% of those guys are gone, that it did not go well under the last regime, that, you know, the depth isn't completely there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We all understand that. It's also okay to be a little bit excited, and not just a little bit excited, overexcited. I don't care if people are exaggerating or people like me calling him a Hall of Famer, first ballot, unanimous Hall of Famer, whatever. After a performance on Monday Night Football where our rookie quarterback outplays not just Joe Burrow, outplays pretty much every other quarterback in the league, sets all sorts of wacky records of completion percentage and random acronyms that Grant Paulson loves tweeting out that nobody understands. It's just a great time to be us, and it's okay if people overreact. I'm all about overreacting.
I think it's okay for fans to overreact. I just don't want any of the players to ever get those mindsets that you all have.
Dude, players shouldn't be. That's why they're players. That's why they're professionals.
They're professionals.
They shouldn't be, but JP, it creeps into them too. People react to what they hear.
I get it. Nate Dogg, you had a couple blogs after that game that I found interesting. We've all talked so much about Jaden, and the performance that night was just unbelievable. He really, like, to cap it off and to ice that win out with that throw to Terry, and Terry deserves a ton of credit for a hell of a catch. But much has been made about Cliff Kingsbury. The analytics community doesn't like Kingsbury. That's just the reality. I operate within or adjacent to that space enough that you can see that out there, right? What do you make of Kingsbury's offense now through three games? Because through two games, it sure did look pretty horizontal, but they definitely got the vertical thing going in Cincy.
Look, I think he kind of put on a master class in the first 2 weeks of easing a inexperienced rookie quarterback into the NFL without making them sit on the bench. It was almost like it was so, you know, put the ego aside, put everything you want to do aside. Let's just take baby step after baby step. Let's complete our passes. Let's limit turnovers, which Jaden obviously has zero of, and ease you into an NFL playbook. And it worked perfectly. I thought we were going to have this conversation maybe week like 8 or 9. Like, okay, now they're opening up the playbook for Jaden. Now they're really taking shots downfield. It only took 3 weeks. And I'm not saying like that he's that everything's perfect and that the playbook's completely open and all that stuff. But I think he's just what Cliff did and what Jaden was able to do and not let his ego or I need to bomb it out. Terry's down there somewhere. I'm going to just air it out into double coverage type of mentality. I think just was so genius and it worked so, so, so well. And it just what I'm kind of like at a loss for words, just how perfect their game plan worked. Hopefully we don't take any steps back. Hopefully, you know, the playbook continues to open up and we just see more creativity and we see more passes downfield. But yeah, I'm elated about what Cliff's playbook and game calling ability did. He's completing 80%+ of his passes. Most accurate quarterback in the league. It's really, really, really great that they trusted each other, that they saw the vision, and that we're not even in October yet and we're having this conversation. Never mind, I thought we were going to have it in November or December.
I think the whole thing about it is, like, with the analytics department, I don't care what those people think. I care what the quarterback does and how the coach operate with it. I think that's the whole thing. We get so caught up in somebody sitting in a room putting numbers into a damn equation and telling us what you're supposed to do on the football field. That man sees Jaden every day. He knows what he needs to do. He knows what he's capable of. And also, let's just think about it. We just left week 3. People might have their whole offense in. They don't run all of it in the first 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So maybe they're bringing stuff along slowly, not just for Jaden, but probably for other people on the offense. You know, he may be able to do – I would think the way he spends time over that building, he's ready for anything they throw at him. But you also got to make sure you don't leave the people that he needs to come along with him to help him out.
I'd say especially on that 4th and 4, you could and that whole drive, you could just tell that the Bengals had no idea what Jaden was going to do because they were terrified of his legs. And we talked last week, is he running too much? I mean, he had 12 carries on Monday night. Only averaged 3.3 a carry. He gets the ball out quick. He makes his decisions quick. Sometimes he still is missing wide open people downfield. And again, that comes with time. That comes with experience. That comes with learning the NFL offense and defense. But, you know, Jaden also learned how to slide, which I almost jumped through the roof when I saw him do that. I was so excited. It's just little by little, he is getting a hang of everything. And it's so funny to say that after he, you know, completes 91% of his passes on Monday Night Football, which makes me think, like, you know, we haven't even seen the half of it yet. Who knows what Jaden's capable of?
Mm-hmm.
He very well might be the best thing to ever happen to all three of us. I'm so optimistic and so excited for what the future holds for him because after 3 weeks in the NFL, we know what he's capable of, and now the sky's just the limit for him.
One of the things, we're talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the BetQL guest line. You can follow him at Barstool Nate, also goes by Little Nate X. One of the things that pre-draft folks were caught up in that I thought was just kind of silly. No, not Topgolf. That was another thing folks were caught up in.
Yeah.
From a number standpoint was the pressure to sack ratio. Through 3 games, Jaden's been sacked 9 times. I think it was he sacked 5 times by the Giants or 6? Whatever it was.
Five times.
So it was 4 in the first half, 1 in the second half. I think he has evolved so much so fast. Maybe evolved isn't the right word, but like
they just could have been damn wrong. Let's be real.
Well, I just wanted to point this out. So for all the consternation about the pressure to sack ratio through 3 games, and nobody's had a bye yet, everybody's played 3 games. Daniels isn't even top 10 in the league in sacks. He's been sacked 9 times, which is a tie for, I guess, 9th with Dak, Brock Purdy, Jacoby Brissett, Geno Smith. They're all right there. Deshaun Watson's been sacked 16 times. Will Levis has been sacked 15. Baker Mayfield, 13. Caleb Williams, 13. If you want to look at like a sack percentage, Daniels ranks a little higher there. He's been sacked on about 10.5% of his dropbacks. Levis is the top of the list at almost 14. Levis, Baker Mayfield, both almost 14. Deshaun Watson, over 12. Then Jacoby Brissett, then Trevor Lawrence. I think that's another of the – one thing I enjoy is Monday night, I think, put some storylines to rest, Nate Dogg. And I like that when, for whatever reason, people – like decided to take a side. Maybe it's just like the increasing polarization of our country, but like coming into the draft, everybody wanted to take a side on who the quarterback should be, right? And then people search for validation of the side they've chosen. I think a lot of the attempts at analytically driven answers for why it should have been one quarterback or another have been thrown out the window at this point.
Yeah, it's all about the play on the field, right? None of that pre-draft nonsense matters. It's You can do all the GMs and the player personnel and the scouts. They do all their research. They watch all the tape. They do all the interviews. You can think that you have the next big thing. And, I mean, look at the last two drafts. Bryce Young cannot complete a three-yard pass. And Caleb, he still might be fine in Chicago. But as of right now, Jaden at number two, the trivia question is going to be, who did the Bears pass over when they took Caleb at number one? Or the opposite, I'm sorry, because people are going to forget Caleb and remember Jaden. So it's tough. Like, for these GMs, sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. We have Adam Peters, the best brain in the business. He got it right through 3 weeks. And, you know, if you don't have the Jaden jersey yet, you better go online and order it, because these things are going to be sold out after he goes into Arizona on Sunday and puts on another show in front of another number one overall quarterback, Kyler Murray.
I was thinking about this, especially in Cincy, Brian. I'm guessing you noticed it, too. Mm-hmm. The amount of kids in Cincinnati wearing Burrow jerseys was just remarkable, and I want to see that in Washington. Like, I just want to see kids at the grocery store wearing Jaden jerseys.
If it continues like it's going, they will. You know, like, I'll be honest with you, kids don't want the jersey if you're not good at it.
Right.
Kids are the most honest beings in the world. They're going to let you know if you're playing or not.
Yeah, the Tress Way jerseys, though, I feel bad for him. Those things aren't going to be selling because he can't get on the field.
That's true. That's true. Hey, he's icing his hands.
He's not concerned, believe me.
Yeah, no. He's cool with it. do you have any – how are you feeling about this defense, Nate Dogg? Or do you just want to stay on the positives?
The defense is the defense, right? Like, it's not great when our draft picks – on the defensive side in the last few years, can't get on the field. Manuel Forbes, all 95 pounds of him, can't get on the field. Jamin Davis.
He's hurt, though. Really... He had a surgery.
Yeah, no, I understand. But, you know, he's on the sideline. Jamin Davis, Ron Rivera, you know, drafted him three rounds too high. We traded Sweat. We traded Chase Young. So the defense is not going to be great. We know that, and that was always going to be the downside of this season is we have – a very, very, very rough, especially secondary, and they are going to get exposed probably week after week just because, and I said it a couple weeks ago, these guys are prepared. I trust this coaching staff to prepare these guys as well as possible. If your talent level in the Madden world is a 60, you're not going to become a 95 just by preparing during the week and watching tape. Talent is, you know, talent's talent. And you can't just make somebody good if they just aren't that good. We can bend, not break defense until the cows come home, and that's what we're going to be this year, and we're going to have to get some good, timely turnovers. We're going to have to get some tip balls. We're going to just have to get to the quarterback, and just the defense is going to have to play above expectation to keep Washington in the games. The offense can only do so much. We can't score 38 every single game. We know that. So.
Right.
That's going to be the roller coaster. Let's say the offense, you know, it's not going to be this Monday night result. We're not going to have, you know, just results like that every week. But
how much do you think potentially, we don't know that yet, but possibly not having Eckler will impact the offense?
Man, I love Eckler. That stinks to see him go down. it's probably not going to it's not going to change dynamically, you know, that offense. Eckler wasn't the focal point of the offense. He wasn't doing anything that I don't think you can, you know, find someone else in the league and plug him in. I mean, 13 carries in 3 weeks. I know he left the game early, but 13 carries in 3 weeks isn't really, like, game-changing stuff. And I think he had 9 catches in 3 weeks. So, we love Eckler.
200 yards in 3 games, averaging.
He had a major impact on his offense thus far.
I mean, he had a touchdown in the last game.
Right, but I don't want to make it seem like, you know, you can't replace 13 carries, right? Like,
it's not the 13 carries, I think, Nate. It's the impact that he's had on the team. And I think his play, he's had some huge plays.
Yeah, I mean, no, I agree.
Nate, just hear me out, bro. 22 touches, so don't worry about just the carries in it with a guy like that. It's touches. 22 touches, rather, for 204 yards, a touchdown, averaging over 9 yards per touch. B-Rob, now, they're asked to do different roles. I'm not looking for a direct comp here, but B-Rob has 50 touches for 262 yards. So maybe some of that pass load can land on Robinson, but I think it's – I don't want to slow you down. I love your enthusiasm, but Eckler's a big part of this offense. And if you go back and look in, I mean, if you look at the box score from the other night, the run game really kind of started grinding after he went out. Like, things that they weren't able to run the ball with the same vigor of which they did in the first half.
Look, I'm not trying to hate. I love Eckler. I love his contributions to this team, but we can't act like that he's irreplaceable. It's a next man up for the backup running back or the third down running back mentality. Eckler's down. Who is it? Jeremy McNichols? You're the next man up. Make something happen. Like, that's all it is to me. Eckler will be back. He'll miss a couple weeks. Seems like he has a concussion. He'll be back. But right now, I'm not about to act like we're going to lose in Arizona because Eckler's down. Absolutely not. This offense is too dynamic, has, you know, too many guys who are awesome. How about Jahmy Brown getting 2 straight balls in crunch time? That was pretty cool to see. Like,
I thought it was good to see Luke McCaffrey have a role and make some plays.
Absolutely. So with everybody stepping up, it's just next guy's going to step up. Eckler will get healthy. He'll be back. But nothing stopped this train. Not an injury, not nothing.
I'm not asking you this, Nate. I'm asking Brian this, just so we're clear. Yep. B, you remember in training camp we saw Luke get a little bit of work out of the backfield?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if Eckler does miss time, they think maybe that's just another wrinkle they can add to the offense.
It may be, but I think they're still working on that one. I don't know if that's already polished up and ready to go just yet.
Yeah, I get that. Nate Dogg, we appreciate you, buddy. And you are very correct. It is okay to be incredibly excited about a rookie quarterback that looks like he's out
just
of this
world. Just don't you tweet any one of the guys on the team.
No, I don't do that. Yeah. I don't do that. I'm just here to
keep
watch.
Keep that to you and yourself up there in New York.
Our beloved Commies about to go 3-1 going into Arizona. I can't wait. And how about Dallas being the worst team of all time? It's a great, great time to be us.
Yo, what'd you think of the little blonde dude from Cincinnati saying saying Jaden wasn't that good?
Just a dork. Like, come on. Like, you can say that the Bengals defense looked bad without saying Jaden isn't that good. I think that quote's going to stick with him forever. They'll play it at Jaden's Hall of Fame induction ceremony. We'll all have a nice laugh. And, life goes on for him. He'll continue to be wrong. But, yeah, keep Jaden's name out of your mouth.
We got to go next week. Break down all the Caps preseason action. Thank you, Nate Dogg.
All right, Nate.
See you guys.
When we come back, Dan Quinn spoke last night. What'd he say? Let's find out.